Welcome to a podcast of the Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
A tip of my hat to the Mid-America Crop Life Association for holding the Obamas accountable for their new organic White House garden. Now, I've always been against organic foods. If I wanted to ingest something a hippie picked, I would eat an auto harp. So I was glad that Mid-America Crop Life sent the first family a letter warning them to consider using crop protection products like pesticides and to recognize the importance and value of America's current agricultural technologies. Exactly. Without those technologies, we wouldn't have Monsanto's Roundup Ready soybeans, which are resistant to the toxic herbicide glyphosate. If we don't douse our crops with glyphosate, how will the runoff get into our fish? Now, these are some people who love the taste of glyphosate.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Andy's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a Kishka's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere, it's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program, heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in demand.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees. Our business's people and their love for trees. Jet streams. I'm sorry, I started laughing on Kishka. I'm like, what's that? You eat it? You don't sleep with it? Right.
Well, some people do. I mean, if it depends on how much you like Kishka. Denny, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine, sir. How about you?
All right. Happy Father's Day to all you dads out there. Do you happen to be one of them dads?
No.
No. So you're in the same boat that I am, which is we need a holiday. It's like... you loser, you didn't get married or ever have kids day, and so now you're not going to have anybody fix your breakfast day.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea.
So I think we call it Loser's Day.
Sponsored by Netflix. Bam, right there.
There we go. Boom. Boom. You sad, sad human being, you without a kid. You know the problem with that, though, with being a dad and kids and stuff? It's... You got to take care of them.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, I could barely handle a cat right now.
Yeah,
so,
same here. Yeah.
So, I think it's good, you know, and there's lots of people out there like me, but I have no problem with Father's Day. I celebrate all the dads out there. And that's cool, you know? But there's some people who shouldn't have children. I'm one of them.
There we go.
And I think it's a good choice. So there you go. But here we are. You know, we celebrate the Dad's Day. So I think we need that, maybe non-parent day. We need, can we, I mean, we make up holidays for everything else.
Yeah.
Can we throw in a non-parent holiday?
I'll whip up some cards and we'll run it by some people.
Yeah. Start working on the cards right now. Good morning, everybody. It's Sunday. We got rain last night. Oh, I'm so excited that we got rain.
Yeah. Much needed.
Much needed. Probably not enough. Ask Rick DeMaio exactly what came down. He'll be at 9:45 as usual and tell us whether the weather will send us more rain. But yay, that was a good thing last night. Next week, big day, Pride Day in Chicago, and the big Pride Parade broadcast right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
12 until 3, right?
12 until 3. And yours truly, with Marshall Stern from Awakened America, we will be hosting the 3 hours of the parade. And the vivacious, the lovely and vivacious Heather Fry will be making an appearance as well. She will be back out on the street and interviewing folks out on the street and on the sidewalk and reporting back to the booth. Last year, if you listen to the Pride Parade, you might remember this is when Steph and Hal Sparks came in to do it. And Stephanie Miller we will be talking to her. She's not going to be in town, but she will be on the broadcast. We will have a little conversation with Stephanie Miller. But last year, she and Hal and John Fugelsang were in the booth at the center on Halsted, and that's where we're broadcasting from. And actually, my morning program, the Mike Novak Show, will be from the center on Halsted as well, from 9 to 11. Then we take an hour off, and then we do the Pride Parade from noon to 3. And you might remember last year that Heather Fry climbed aboard a broken-down float and became a star for a few minutes.
Oh, man, I'd love to hear the commentary on that one.
She climbed aboard a cannon on this float. And so I'm hoping a float breaks down right in front of the viewing area once again this year.
Yeah.
And then we just kind of let Heather do her thing. So that is next week from noon to 3 on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and the FNM. Today... Interesting story that I found out about, actually, because I got an email that was addressed to Marshall Stern at Awakened America, but I was copied on it. And it was from a woman who had a concern about some trees in Evanston, and it opened up this whole question about decorating trees with lights and that sort of thing, which a lot of people do at Christmas, but people do it other times of the year. And if you go to my website, MikeNovak.net, go to this week's show, you will see the pictures. You should do that, Denny, because especially the first one, I look at that and I go, that can't be good for the tree.
What's the site again?
MikeNovak.net. You know, that one?
Sorry, these phones are getting out of hand. I'm watching these phones.
Ever heard of that one? It's it's with a W, MikeNovak.net. And go to this week's show. I'm going to shut off your... You know, I used to do that sometimes to Heather. I can turn off that microphone. I turn it on and I can turn it off.
That was a plug.
I know. It was a sneaky way of getting that information out. Yeah, and if you go to the picture on this week's show, you'll see that. In fact, let's get Mark Younger on the phone right now. He is the City of Evanston forestry guy. He's an arborist. Is he with us already?
Yep, line 3.
Oh, my goodness. You're just way too good.
Made up for that whole
you thing did. Right there, didn't I? You absolutely. Well, the thing is, I don't have the little screen up there, but I'll get that. Let us do that. Oh, and by the way, before we go to Mark, and then in the second hour, Debbie Hillman from dhillmanstrategies.com, she's making food an issue in the elections this year. She wants food to be a campaign issue, and she's going to tell you how she does that. Let us bring in Mark Younger, arborist from the City of Evanston. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Mike.
How are you?
Very good. How are you doing?
All right. I bet you're happy you got a little rain.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. It's tough on you tree people in the city when it ain't raining. I mean, it's got to be hard to explain to people how to keep those trees going, and especially in an urban area like the ones pictured on my website, you know, in tree pits. Those trees, they take a lot of abuse, don't they?
They do. It's a lot of radiant heat from the asphalt pavement, and we have had a watering truck going around to augment the watering for the trees. We've also put a product called Tree Gator, kind of a watering bag at the base of some of the trees, especially on the pits, to help keep them going.
Okay, you were breaking up just a little bit there. And I hope that it doesn't get any worse than that. But would you explain what you think people need to do? Let's say they've got a tree on a parkway, they're trying to keep it healthy. What are you telling them about watering during a dry spell like the one we've been having?
Wherever it's dry and warm, typically July, August. This year it's been June for us. We encourage homeowners to at least put an inch of water down a week, which is a sprinkler or a hose, whatever they have available. But typically whatever it takes to put an inch of water down, if it's up in the 90s, sometimes twice a week.
Yeah. Jennifer Brennan from Chalet says, for each 10 degrees above 75 degrees, you're adding another half inch. So if you're 95 degrees, you're actually looking at 2 inches of water per week because of the evaporation.
Yes.
Let's get to the real quick to the issue at hand here. I got an email from a woman, Jane Alexander's a name, and I think she's a famous star, but not really. And she was concerned about the trees on Maple Street in Evanston. It's where Century 21 movie theater is located. And there are, as you say, there's a number of different trees there. What kind of trees are we talking about?
We work with the Church Street Plaza Management Group, and they actually paid to install Accolade Elm, one of the hybrid elms,
mm-hmm.
Ginkgo, and the State Street Maple, the Miami Maple.
Okay, so we've got a number of different trees, which is nice. I'm glad you're not, and they're not, putting in what do you call it when you put everything the same thing? Monoculture, right. Sorry, I just sort of blanked on there. But she sent me these photos. She wrote and she said she thinks the trees are being strangled by these cords, which have lights in them. And I thought, well, I've seen trees with cords before, and it's usually not a big deal. And then I said, well, can you send me some photos? And she sent me these photos. And if you look at them, those trees are wrapped pretty good. I mean, and she claimed that she had... the thing you got to know about her, she's a tree keeper, an open lands tree keeper. So am I. I'm a tree keeper, and so she's aware of what kind of issues surround trees in growing them in urban areas. And so she sent me these photos, and I looked at them. And I said, you know what? I think I agree with her. So what I did is I sent out a letter to a number of my arborist friends, including Dr. Rex Bastian at the Care of Trees, Doris Taylor at the Morton Arboretum, Guy Sternberg from Star Hill Forest Arboretum, Scott Jameson from Bartlett Tree Experts, Todd Jacobson from the Morton Arboretum. And they all wrote back to me, and their concern was how loose is the cabling on these trees? And they all had slightly different variations on what they thought. For instance, Dr. Bastian said, as long as the rope lights are loose enough so that the trunk has adequate space to allow for a development of the annual growth ring, they should be okay, but they will eventually need to be loosened. His point was, because they're in these tree pits or sidewalk cutouts, depending on what you want to call them, there may not be a lot of growth because it's harder for trees to grow there. But if the cable can slide up or down a bit, there's some expansion room left. Then if the cables can't be moved, they should be loosened. What did you find when you took a look at those trees, Mark?
Actually, I've been working with a management company, Arthur Hill and Company, and the director over there, Rob. Rob Gilbert. They just put this lining up last Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And I actually had, Ms. Alexander had called, I think, a few months ago, and I'd stopped over and taken a look at the trees. And before the heat of the season started, they were actually not too tight. Attached. It's a rope lining that starts at the base of the tree and kind of winds around, spirals. If you look at the pictures, it spirals around to the top of the trunk at the first branch junction, and they're attached with a quick tie, if you will, at the top and the bottom and at a couple spots in between. And they were not bad. I worked with the management company to keep an eye on them and adjust them seasonally. And I stopped back this week and met with the director, Rob Gilbert, and with the heat, I think things had actually started to snug up a little bit, mm-hmm. so they should be adjusted again. So they actually went out, and I think I copied you on the email response from Mr. Gilbert, and they're very attentive to the trees, and we all want to make sure that the trees continue to thrive, be an integral part of that block.
Mm-hmm.
And they went out Friday, and they loosened them up and adjusted them, so that was just done again.
Good.
But in general, we don't encourage homeowners or businesses to put rope lighting around the trees, because if they're left unattended, they can girdle the trees and cause them to actually die. And many people, I think, have seen that happen. And Jane is correct to be concerned about it. But in this case, it's an unusual situation. The rope lighting has been put up for safety issues and to kind of brighten up that block as theater goers and diners exit and enjoy that block. So we've worked real closely with them to make sure that the wrong thing doesn't happen with those trees.
One of the comments that I got from my arborist friends was that the zip tie is likely to cause more damage than the, well, it could cause as much damage as the rope itself, the light rope, because people, they pull these things really tight and they don't realize that they're cutting into the tree. But your I think your point is well taken, which is, I can understand why Ms. Alexander had a comment about it, because most of the people that I talked to said they don't recommend it. And you say the same thing. As an arborist, you don't really recommend wrapping stuff around a tree because trees are notorious. I talked to an arborist yesterday, actually, about this, Mark, and he was with a company that had done some holiday lights. And he said 6 months later, you could see where the cable was starting to make an impression into the tree, into the bark. And it doesn't take much for a tree to grow and do that. And then suddenly it's absorbing this all of this wrapping, and it can be harmful to the tree. So in the short run, you guys are going to keep track of this. And I understand, as you said, that the company wants to do this right. But they also want to have the lights, as you explained to me on the phone. We talked the other day. They're doing it for decorative purposes on the block. Is that right?
Decorative and safety,
mm-hmm.
to help brighten up the block at night.
Well, I tell you what, get more lights on the block, and then we won't have to worry about that. Okay. Well, the point here is you're going to have to keep addressing this issue. You're going to have to keep loosening the cords as the trees get. Are they planning to keep this on permanently, or what's the story? Because this was put on November. How long are they going to keep these lights on? Do you know?
Most communities will they'll have electric mounted at the base of the trees, at the base of those pits, and they'll do a seasonal lighting usually around the holidays at the end of the year, and then take them down as soon as the holidays are over. This is kind of an unusual, unique situation, if you will, and they are planning on keeping them on there long term.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Sorry.
So it to do that, it has to be adjusted regularly.
Yeah, and I guess I'm hoping that you set up a regular time to come and adjust. I guess that would make the most sense. Is every couple of months come out and take a look and make sure that the trees are not being girdled.
That's correct.
We're talking to Mark Younger, who's with the City of Evanston Forestry Department, about some trees. They have lights wrapped around them on Maple Street there in the city, and some of you may have seen that. We're going to talk about something else. I'm going to take a little break here, Mark, but you're involved in something that I've been involved in before, and that's the Tour de Trees, and an event coming up this Saturday that is a preview to the Tour de Trees. Hang on just a second, okay? And we're going to bring in another friend and talk about that in just a little bit. Okay, Mark?
Thanks, Mike.
Now, for this next segment, let me hear your best pirate impression. Don't be shy now. 1, 2, 3, arr. That's what you do when you throw pests overboard with Captain Jack's dead bug brew from Bonide organically, of course. This brew from Bonide contains spinosad, which is derived from a naturally occurring soil bacterium. Captain Jack's dead bug brew can be sprayed directly on the insect or your plant to guard against chewing and sucking insects like bagworms, moths, loopers, leaf miners, thrips, and more. I've tried it on mites. Seemed to work pretty well. It's safe to use on vegetable gardens, annuals, perennials, berries, shrubs, and fruit trees. But as always, please practice RAFLD. Read and follow label directions. You can get Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew at Sonoris Brothers in Frankfort, Illinois, Carp's Garden and Feed in Hobart, Indiana, Red's Garden Center in Northbrook, Illinois, or go to Bonide.com to find a retailer near you or to see a complete listing of the Bonide Garden Naturals. While you're there, download the free Bonide Problem Solver app for your iPhone or Droid.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
It's Father's Day weekend, and if you think Dad wouldn't like something for the garden, you don't know Dad very well. Stop by Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center, where they're celebrating the holiday with loads of bright new plant material and some amazing deals. My buddies Gene and Keith took a field trip this week to their favorite perennial nursery, and they picked out some just fabulous stuff. But the annuals and tropicals, well, actually, that's the perennials they got. But, you know, they have annuals and tropicals as well. And everything looks great, including, verbena, shrimp plant. What else did I see? A hibiscus, of course. Great stuff. If you show up Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center, you're going to be happy with whatever you pick up. I guarantee it. And they're sweetening the pot with these deals. Buy two shrubs, get one free. They also have a huge selection of quart and gallon perennials marked half off. There are lush hanging baskets, too, a perfect gift for Father's Day. Visit Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center on Facebook. Check them out there or just stop by at 2200 West Grand Avenue in the Ukrainian village. Look for the explosion of color.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why Plant Skid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at PlantSkid.com. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed, or your money back.
Plant Skid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. Plant Skid.
Let's see, we got a tweet from Sarah Batka, who's works with the Master Gardeners. She's the, I don't know exactly what her title is, but she's the one that sends out all the notices to the Chicago Master Gardeners to let us know when there are volunteer opportunities and educational opportunities. And she says on Twitter, Heather, Miss Heather, I can't wait to hear her voice. And then she says, good morning, Mike in Chicago. Gardeners, thank you. Sarah, yeah, you know, we'll give you your Heather fix next week, noon to 3 on Chicago's Progressive Talk during the Pride Parade. Here's a tip from the care of trees. It doesn't matter if the season is winter or spring or summer or fall. If you have mature trees in your yard, you just might want to have the Care of Trees phone number handy. They can't restore your power after a big storm, but they do have 24-hour emergency service, and they can take care of your damaged trees. Many people don't understand how dangerous it is to remove or prune storm-damaged trees yourself, especially if a tree falls on a car, other structures, power lines, or even other trees. The Care of Trees offers 24-hour emergency service to assist in performing the job safely while minimizing further risk to your property. The Care of Trees shares your enthusiasm for the many ways trees enhance the quality of your life. Invite the certified arborists at the Care of Trees to take a look at your trees. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Good morning to all you out there, those of you who are following me on Twitter and on Facebook and, you know, even old school radio. And we've got Mark Younger on the line, who's the arborist with the City of Evanston Forestry Department, and bringing in on the next line and the reason I'm playing Glory Days. Yeah, bringing in, boy, I like it when you bring that fader up and it goes right to the words you're looking for. Mary DiCarlo from the Tree Fund. Mary, are you there?
I'm here, Mike.
Good morning.
Good morning. Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday. And I interrupted a ride you were going to do today. So
I know. My fitness program is just falling to ruins on your account.
It's out the window.
You were more important this morning.
Well, actually, it's the Tree Fund that is important, and the Steel 2012 Steel Tour de Trees that, Mark, you're going to be a part of, right?
Yes,
this certainly this Saturday. Mary, why don't you tell us what happens with Saturday?
Well, Mike, we've got a bike ride planned to benefit the Tree Fund this coming Saturday, and it's being sponsored by the Illinois Arborists Association and Steel and Kramer Trees. And we've got, we're inviting cyclists from all over the Chicagoland area to join the riders who are planning to journey to Oregon in August to ride 585 miles in the 2012 Steel Tour de Trees.
Give me that number again.
585 miles through Oregon, which appears to be mostly uphill. Mark, are you training?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I was looking at that map of the Tour de Trees this year. Now, when you guys did it a couple of years ago here in Illinois, there's a few hills, especially when you get out west. But
yeah, Galena was good that way.
Yeah, but Oregon? What are you trying to do to these people?
This is going to be an epic ride, Mike. This is going to be the ride that everybody talks about 5-10 years down the road and say, wow, did you do Oregon? We actually sold this one out 6 weeks before registration closed. We've never done that before.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, Oregon is a bucket list ride. That's where serious cyclists go before they die.
Yeah, but you know what? It's interesting. You have the cyclists that you have in the Tour de Trees are many of them arborists. They love to cycle, but they're not exactly professional cyclists.
No, it's not the Tour de France.
No, it's a Tour de Trees.
Thankfully. Yes.
Yeah. But, you know, it's I saw some of those faces in Illinois after a couple of days, you know, with 90 degree temperatures and riding a couple of hundred miles. It's it takes its toll.
Well, I think that's that really speaks to the people that do this, Mike. It's not the Tour de France. This is not something that you sign up for just because you like to ride a bike. I mean, some of them do, but for the most part, our cyclists are arborists. They're people who care passionately about trees, or they're involved with trees in some capacity. And these are people who are willing to get on a bike and ride 585 miles through Oregon to raise money for research. It's not really about the bike ride so much as it is about the trees.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're doing this coming Saturday is we're having a ride here in Illinois where there's not a whole lot of hills, so this is much less intimidating. It's only 35 miles, which is also much less intimidating. And we're asking people to come out and ride with the cyclists of Team Illinois to help them raise money. Each of these people has to raise $3,500 for the privilege of riding 585 miles in a week.
I know. That's the amazing thing.
Isn't it?
You got to raise all that money, and then you get abused on a bicycle.
Yeah, but they do it because they think it's important, and it is important.
Yeah, it
and
is.
These people are willing to, you know, put some skin in the game here, and not everybody can or wants to go to Oregon to ride 585 miles and raise $3,500, but they can help these people who are willing to do that by showing up next Saturday up in the village of Lakewood and riding with them. It'll cost $50. You get to ride for 35 miles in Illinois. You get a barbecue at the end. There's some music. There's probably going to be some fun involved.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a means of saying, hey, I care about trees too, but you guys are making the big commitment. I'm willing to support you with this.
That's Mary DiCarlo. She's Fund Development Specialist for the Tree Fund. I also have Mark Younger, arborist with the City of Evanston. And Mark, have you been training?
I have.
Why are you laughing, Mary?
Because I call Mark every week and say, Mark, are you training?
It's our busy season. It's tough to carve out the time to do that. My girlfriend Joyce and I are actually getting our bike shorts on and riding to our Father's Day activities right after we get off the radio with you. So we're going to work it in today, Mary.
Okay. Boy, I'm interrupting everybody's Father's Day activities, aren't I?
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah. But Mark, you're going to be there this Saturday.
Yes.
Okay, just consider it another part of the training. The ride is 35 miles, and it's looping through McHenry County. Mm-hmm. And Mary, where does it start?
Well, we're starting in it's in the Turnberry Country Club, actually, which is in City of Lakeview.
Mm-hmm.
And we have if you go to Illinois Arborist, singular, .org. There's information about the ride, how to register for it.
Aha! See, I didn't have that part of it, so
well,
I'm gonna.
This went up just yesterday, actually.
Okay.
April Tony at the Illinois Arborist has been working feverishly on this. This is some of the details were just finalized this past week. So what we're going to do is start at the Turnberry Country Club and gather there. And then we'll do a 35-mile ride from there and then head on out, come back to one of our cyclists' homes. He has a beautiful yard and a beautiful deck, overlooks a lake. And we'll have a barbecue in his backyard with some music and some good food.
And Mary says, it's up there at IllinoisArborist.org. And it's right on the homepage there. You can find, you just click on the Ride for Research. Yeah. Cool beans. This is great.
Yeah. Steel is supporting this ride as well as the big ride in Oregon, the Steel Tour de Trees.
Well, that's why they call it the Steel Tour de Trees, because
right.
They're the big sponsor.
They are the big
But we got their name out there. So hold on. There we go. How many people are on the Illinois team this year?
We've got, I think, four people riding for Illinois.
We have five.
Five.
Five people, and meaning that these are the people that are going to be in Oregon.
Well, we've got Scott Jamison, and we have...
That guy.
Remember Scott Jamison?
Oh, yeah.
So Scott Jamison's riding for Illinois. John Kirchner's riding for Illinois. Pam Pinkley and
mm-hmm.
Mark. And
yes.
We also have two other Illinois riders, Don Rapolo. And Jim Skira, who is the executive director of the International Society of Arborists, is a resident of Illinois, but he's riding to support Wisconsin this year.
But, you know, a lot of people aren't, you know, people who won't be in Oregon can help out this Saturday with the 35-mile ride. And the funds will go to the Team Illinois for the Steel Tour de Trees.
Right.
You can come and ride for $50 and get a barbecue afterward and music.
Right.
Or you just want to go for the barbecue, it's $25.
Right. You can show up at 2 o'clock at Greg Cadu's house, and we'll have a barbecue and some music. And
well, I'm sure.
Delighted to have you.
And the other thing you can do is call, you know, go to IllinoisArborist.org or call April Tony at 877-617-8887. And that information is on my website. I didn't have the link to the Illinois Arborist yesterday when I was putting this together, but I've got April's phone number and her email address. It's iaa@wi.rr.com. But it's all there on my website. Well, listen, both of you, thank you so much. Good luck. Have fun this Saturday. That's the easy one. And then good luck in Oregon, especially you, Mark. That's going to be a long ride.
Thank you, Mike. And I want to just sneak in one more of our generous sponsors for the ride next week. Is
okay.
Mark Dunneman with Natural Path Forestry Consultants.
Sure, absolutely.
We thank him, and thank you, Mike. I really appreciate it.
Give that name again.
It's Mark Dunneman, who's the president of Natural Path Forestry Consultants.
Okay, fabulous.
And that link's up on the website also.
Great. So I hope folks join you and have some fun next week, and keep me posted on the tour. When do you guys ride, Mary?
Well, it starts on August 5th. We're riding the 5th through the 11th in Oregon, Mike.
All right. All right. Well, you know what? I may have to have you give me a report from out Oregon way.
All right. Well, I'd be happy to do that. Thanks a lot for the help with this, Mike.
No problem. You guys have a great day, all right?
All right. You too.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is the Mike Novak Show in Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. It's time for Dr. Wally's Tip of the Week, brought to you by Pesci Garden Center in Des Plaines. Wally is not a real doctor, and he won't give me any pain pills, so why do I give him so much publicity? I don't know. Anyway, regardless of whether it rained for you last night, and it did for many people here in the area, our hot weather is a problem for applying pesticides and even fertilizers. When the weather is this hot, using oil-based sprays and synthetic fertilizers can damage plants. Wally says that people get fooled by cooler temperatures at night. You know, they tell you to apply these things when the temperatures are cooler. Well, it gets down to 84 or 80 at night, and people put it on, and they forget that it's going to be back up to 90 the next day. It might seem a little too simple, but keep an eye on Rick DeMille's weather forecast and wait until he's calling for the temperatures to back off for a few days before applying your plant remedies. For more information on pests and fertilizers and organics and amendments, stop in and visit Dr. Wally at Pesci's Garden Center, just minutes off of I-294 at 170 South River Road in Des Plaines. That's Pesci's Garden Center, or you can visit them online at Pesci's.com, PESCHES.com.
Summer has arrived, and for many gardeners, that means heat, drought, and watering bans. Help your landscapes thrive despite these seasonal challenges with proper care and Milorganite fertilizer. Hi, I'm gardening expert Melinda Myers. Mulch the soil with a layer of organic material to conserve moisture, reduce weeds, and improve the soil as it breaks down. Water plants thoroughly and less frequently whenever you irrigate the garden. This encourages deep roots, making your plants more drought tolerant and pest resistant. Water early in the day to reduce water loss to evaporation. And be sure to use Milorganite for all your summer fertilization needs. The organic nitrogen is slow release and won't burn plants even during drought. Milorganite remains in the soil until the conditions are right for plant growth, including your lawn, so there's no need to water it in. Plus, the 4% non-staining iron promotes deep green growth. So choose Milorganite for better results naturally. Visit Milorganite.com for a garden center near you. That's Milorganite.com.
Just saw the tweet from Scott Jameson. He didn't like me calling him that guy. Yeah, that guy, he writes. come on, Scott, you're a good guy. Scott Jameson, as I mentioned earlier, with Bartlett Tree Experts. and a buddy of mine. And I'm glad he's listening to the show. And a lot of folks are this morning. I see Annie Haven there, and Cope Dog is listening. And I had a bunch of tweets from Ron Wolford from Cook County Extension. So thanks all. And I appreciate your support. And if you don't get a chance to hear the whole show, you can always get a podcast. You can download them from iTunes, or you can go right to my website and just play it right off of the website. Obviously, we're streaming. And you can get this the streaming on my website, MikeNovak.net. Follow me on Facebook and Twitter. What am I forgetting? Oh, Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. Do you like to vote early and often in the great Chicago tradition? Pick up a copy of the May-June issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine and look at the potpourri pages. It looks like potpourri, but it's actually potpourri. You'll learn about the American Garden Award Program, where you can vote for your favorite new plant varieties. It's administered by the All-America Selections Display Garden Program. Now, the contributing institutions are Berner Botanical Gardens in Milwaukee, Cantini Gardens in Wheaton, Rotary Botanical Gardens in Janesville, and Tall Tree Arboretum in Valparaiso. If I listed all six entries and their full names and descriptions, we'd run out of time. So just go to AmericanGardenAward.org, AmericanGardenAward.org, and click on your favorite plant. Also in the potpourri section is a story of two new area gardens. First is the Grunsfeld Children's Growing Garden at the Chicago Botanic Garden, a dedicated space for hands-on planting programs with a strong educational component. The other is the Roof Garden and Farmers Market at Weiss Memorial Hospital in Chicago's uptown neighborhood. And then, of course, in the magazine, there's my column. Some people think it belongs on a rooftop in a chimney. Chicagoland Gardening Magazine on newsstands all over town. Get a subscription. Go to ChicagolandGardening.com or call 888-265-3600, 888-265-3600. Zero, and I do have to make a mention of a post that I got this morning from Michael Bryson, who's a buddy of mine, and he posted on my personal Facebook page, and he writes, and he says, "Mike, you've outdone yourself with your July-August column in Chicagoland Gardening Magazine." See, if you have a subscription, you've already gotten your July-August. I'm just telling you about May-June, but it's not quite on the stand yet. However, if you had a subscription, you'd have July-August. And Michael writes, he says, "Brilliant, hilarious. I expect you'll be swimming in cash in no time. Your former co-author, Lily B., who is his daughter, who I believe is 10 years old, gives us a double thumbs up. When she read it initially, she snickered multiple times while in the bathroom, mind you, so the noise reverberated nicely, and then announced to us, 'Oh, you have to listen to Novak's column.' Then a dramatic reading." Classic stuff. So now he's got his daughter reading the column out loud to the family. That's really just sad. Rick Tobia weather in 60 seconds.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
You heard it here. It's not too late to plant a vegetable garden. No siree, Bob. You can still plant some varieties of tomatoes. You know, you can get beans in the ground. Some people wait till the 4th of July to get the squash in so they don't deal with squash vine borer. You know, eggplant, cucumbers. But be sure to amend the soil with Dr. Earth homegrown vegetable garden planting mix to get them off to a great start. Doctor your earth with Dr. Earth, the multivitamin for your garden. To purchase some Dr. Earth homegrown vegetable garden planting mix, visit drearth.com to find a dealer near you and like Dr. Earth on Facebook at Dr. Earth Organic Products.
Thank you.
now I feel better. Let's go to the phone. Bring in my buddy, Rick DeMaio. Rick, good morning and happy Father's Day to you.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Is it happy Father's Day for you too as well?
Nope. It's just another day. I talked about it a little earlier. Denny and I were discussing it. What do you do when you're not a dad? It's like Sunday's just another work day for me. I know people go off to church and visiting the family. Nope, just another work day here.
Well, don't forget you can be a father, but there's a lot of people who are fathers that aren't parents, right?
That's true.
Yeah,
there you go. But being
a parent is probably the most important thing about being a father.
What is? I'm sorry.
I think being a parent is probably the most important thing about being a father.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Good point.
And every once in a while, I remind my dad of that. He goes, "I feel terrible. I wasn't there for you in your senior year." I'm like, "No, you weren't. That's okay. I made it." And we just move on to something else.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, but did you count all those raindrops yesterday?
Were there six or seven?
Oh, there were about 6,000, but still that wasn't enough to put a dent in our drought. But in parts of Kankakee County, there were probably 600 million drops. Did you see all the rain that occurred down in that area?
I'm sorry, where?
In Kankakee County, anywhere between about 5 and as much as 7 inches. Some of the reports that came in overnight, and I happened to be working at Channel 2 last night, watching the way this line just basically set up, Mike, from west to east. It was pretty much what we call a training line of thunderstorms, where you basically have a railroad track that runs one direction west to east, and the train just was going over the same track, the same thunderstorms, the same cells, for about a four-hour period. So here are some of the official totals. Bradley, 7.33. Kankakee Airport, 6.91. Bourbonnais, 5.53. Moments, 5.24. St. Anne's, 4.78. Piatone, 2.60. And it's interesting, Mike, when you go to the northern part of Kankakee County that borders Will County, about an inch, maybe an inch and a half of rain fell. LaSalle, Joliet, about an inch to maybe an inch and a quarter. O'Hare Field, officially 0.42. The far northern suburbs, pretty much less than about a tenth of an inch. So this was feast or famine in some parts of Kankakee, pretty much what we call catastrophic flooding, because if you think about it, I had some photos that someone had sent to me from their soybean fields. These fields were basically looking like concrete. So all that rain that fell in that short amount of time probably began to run off before it can actually soak into the soil. But when you really look at it, Mike, probably less than about 5 to 10% of the area got the rain that we needed. So even though we got a fairly good dousing yesterday, we're still well behind the curve as far as rainfall for the month of June.
Yeah, I would think so. And I was sitting at home yesterday working on the show and also kind of had the U.S. Open on. And
it's a beautiful course, isn't it?
Yeah, but they're dry out there, too, which is interesting.
Right.
You know, it's looking at San Francisco and how dry it is there.
Right, right. And this is really their dry time of the year. And one of the reasons why they were talking about the greens being somewhat wet during the day on Thursday was they had 3 to 4 straight mornings of low clouds, a little bit of drizzle and some fog. Last couple of days, though, it's been dry. And, of course, the greens are fast and I don't think you're going to see many scores under par.
No. The winner of that might not be under par.
Right. Depending on how things go.
But through. I was sitting there, and I was going to the radar on my computer every once in a while just to see where the rain was going to happen. And I noticed that training effect down to the south of the city. So, and the other thing we did is Kathleen put up on my homepage several of the maps you sent me yesterday about the drought conditions and how it developed. And it's pretty interesting. If you look at you've got this, a map. The first map is for April 1st to April 30th. And then the second is May 1st to May 31st. And then June 1st to June 15th. And you can just see how the progression of this drought is happening. Although now you'll have to put that sliver in that area where they got all that rain yesterday.
Yeah, that little drop of ink that happened to squirt out of the pen, right?
Yeah.
It's funny because we talk about a lot relating to climate. You really don't know you're in a drought until you're about halfway through it. And the same thing with a heat wave. They tend to build on themselves. And this particular dry spell. Up through yesterday was the driest we've had for northern Illinois for the first 15 days of June, dating all the way back to 1988. Now, of course, that was the year that basically all of the upper Midwest and northern plains and the central and southern plains were in what we call the big dry. That was a catastrophic event as far as agriculture is concerned. This one, I think, got tempered a bit by some of the heavier rainfall that came down across areas of western Iowa, into Wisconsin and Minnesota. And even though we didn't get the good rain that we needed, I think a little bit goes a long way to kind of keep the farmers, you know, somewhat happy. And what we've also seen in the past is if you can continue to get some of these bands of rain in some of the areas where it was fairly dry, it keeps the overall soil moisture somewhat better than normal, because if your entire area is dry, you feed on the drought and it becomes much larger. But if you're constantly getting little spurts of rain here and there, the overall dryness on a large scale actually becomes somewhat tempered a bit. So even though we didn't get the heavier rain here, I think the rainfall that we got to the west probably helps us to some small degree. And it looks like the next best chance of any precipitation, even though it's not going to be until Wednesday into Thursday, it looks like we can maybe squeeze out an inch out of this. So I think the longer term predictions for rainfall seem a little bit better compared to where we were about 2 weeks ago.
Good. I'm glad to hear that, because it was getting to be a situation. Well, the lawns have just been going dormant.
Oh, terrible, yeah. And some of the other maps that I sent you, there's actually five different levels of drought. There's D1 and D2, which is drought 1 and drought 2. And many areas of central Illinois were pretty much in that D2 range. We haven't even got close to D3 or D4, which is what we call severe and exceptional. But there's definitely some concern, because what's going to happen over the next 2 weeks is the corn is going to become what we in that sensitive stage where it begins to silk. And when corn begins to silk, that pretty much sets the stage for how that corn is going to be for the rest of the summer. So if we can get some rainfall across the area and people's, obviously, their gardens and their lawns over the next week, we should be in a little bit better shape. But even before we get there, we have some very hot weather to deal with beginning tomorrow and also Tuesday as well.
Oh, boy. Okay, well, I just wanted to say here that I got an email, and I told you about this earlier in the week, from a guy named Bryce Anderson, who's a meteorologist, and it said the eastern Corn Belt is currently several inches below normal level of precip, Illinois in particular suffering from 78% of its topsoil short to very short on rainfall. Now, obviously, this changed a little bit last night.
Right.
But and one of the things I've noticed, unlike in 1988, the areas that have drought is sort of a patchwork here. You know, you'll get a certain area that's a little droughty and something not very far away that's not, and it's not as consistent as, say, the Southwest was last year in Texas, which was
that was just basically downright awful. But yeah, Bryce's article did a good job in outlining the areas of concern, and those particular areas got a little bit, probably got about a half inch to about an inch of rain overnight. So obviously those regions of dryness will probably come down a little bit. But particularly here in Illinois, some of the soil moisture evaporation rates, which I always like to talk about, were approaching about 4/10 to about 5/10 of an inch per day.
Yikes.
And that's one of the reasons why I think some of the lawns were really beginning to dry out. And I think that's one of the reasons why our high temperatures were averaging about maybe a degree and a half to 2 degrees above what some of the computer models were beginning to generate, meaning that the dry ground actually allows the temperature to become a little bit warmer. And if you notice, we've now had 10 days above 90 degrees. We really haven't had a lot of days where we've had high humidity. It wasn't like you're walking around and saying, boy, there's a lot of humidity in the atmosphere. That hasn't been the case. And oddly enough, through the hydrologic cycle, what we call evapotranspiration, dry ground actually begins to evaporate some humidity that begins to work its way back into your area. So it's amazing how that feeding process basically becomes somewhat cyclical as you head into drier and drier weather. And I think you'll notice probably today, due to the fact that we had some decent rains, you'll feel the humidity levels actually become a little bit stickier than we've seen in recent days. So even though we've had the warm weather, we definitely have not had the real high humidity.
Absolutely. Kathleen was talking about that yesterday. She said, you know, I'm tired of people complaining about how hot it is because it hasn't been humid at all, and it really hasn't felt like 90s.
Right. It hasn't been in that uncomfortable, oppressive range that we typically see around here. But I think that's going to change most likely during the day tomorrow and also Tuesday as well. Temperatures today easily getting up to about 87 or 88 degrees. It's a beautiful day. And then we begin to turn the winds around to the southwest, and I can easily see temperatures approaching 96, 97 degrees during the day on Monday, and pretty much close to about 97 or 98 during the day on Tuesday before a little bit of a cool down comes in on Wednesday, dropping readings back in the lower 90s. But Monday and Tuesday are definitely going to be what we like to call barn burners, without a doubt.
And you say that Wednesday it's going to cool off to the lower 90s? Is that what you're telling us?
Well, there's a little bit of a front that comes through that could probably bring a couple of showers and some thunderstorms. So we're thinking about a quarter inch to maybe about a half inch of rain late Wednesday and maybe another additional half inch during the day on Thursday. And then I'm actually thinking we could get into somewhat of a cooler, wetter pattern here beginning Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. All the heat begins to shift out across the northern plains. And what that does is it builds these big, big thunderstorms that actually pushed across parts of Minnesota and Wisconsin last week. And that was one of the reasons why they got about 4 to 8 inches of rain. So during the summertime, you don't really look for large areas of low pressure or large temperature gradients. You basically look for where the rain is going to develop and then where it's going to end up moving to. So I think we're going to pretty much be on the end of the delivery line of big thunderstorms that develop over the northern plains come Friday, Saturday, and should be rolling into this area probably by next weekend. So whatever you need to do to keep your lawns and your gardens happy between today and probably Wednesday, you may not have to do come this time next weekend. So I think the forecast overall is looking a little bit more beneficial for people who are worried about when they do go away for a week, maybe a week and a half, you know, who's going to water the lawn, who's going to water their container pots, and obviously take care of some of their vegetables that they just recently
planted. Well, what I would say in terms of lawns, given that you're predicting more rain, I'd say leave them. You know, let them
let them go dormant
because, for one thing, when the Japanese beetles start to lay eggs, they're not going to lay them in your lawn because your lawn is dry. But it's true. Japanese beetles like it a little bit moist. All right, Rick DeMaio Weather. You can go to DeMaioWeather.com or go to my website, MikeNovak.net. Rick, we'll talk to you next week. And again, happy Father's Day.
Thanks, Mike. Take care.
Bye-bye. In the second hour, Debbie Hillman is going to come by and talk about food as a political issue. And I hope you join us for that. So stick around in the Mike Novak Show. Wild it up. Wild it up. How can I get up? Why should I get up? This whole world's gone crazy, think I've seen enough. I'm gonna sleep forever, why get up?
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, their business's people and their love for trees. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
The world outside bugs me in a way. When I get things going, the going gets rough. So I ask myself, why get up? Why get up?
See, that's the Father's Day theme. Why get up?
Why get up?
Why?
Can I get up?
I don't know. I don't have the answer.
Why should I get up?
Got nothing for you.
This whole world's gone crazy. Think I've seen enough. I'm going to sleep forever. Why get up?
All right.
Nice.
That, abrupt. Do you like that? So you have some ideas for this new holiday that we should be celebrating.
We were talking about it, and yeah, I was thinking about it, and first I'm like, oh, that's silly. But then I whipped up some good ideas. I think we got something here, Novak.
Okay.
I think we got something. All right.
Do we have to copyright it so we can cash in?
We'll talk about that at 11.
Okay, great.
We got a lot of planning to do here.
Lots of planning.
I think you'll like this one. The first one, a good one. Just a card with Mari Povich on the front. You are not the father. You've seen the show, and then you open it, love mom or whoever, all right?
All right.
We got a poem here.
Okay.
Roses are red, daisies are yellow, you don't have kids, way to go, you weird fellow. Is that a good one?
I like it. Okay.
That one will work. Okay, and finally, you know, you're a lot like a person with very pale skin, no sun in your life, and apparently no possible way of ever changing it.
Love, love Dad.
Oh, no, no. Oh, yeah, another one. A picture of a dog on the front. You open it, and it says, thanks for not bringing any weird babies around. Love the dog. I'm telling you, we got something here, Novak.
I think so. I think so. All right. Absolutely. Write those down. Let's.
Right there,
he's
buddy.
Got them right there. Handwritten, no less. That's just. Do you know how to use a computer? Have you ever?
I'm old school. I'm a little Benjamin Franklin. I got a feather out here with ink on it.
If you have any more of those ideas, try them out on me.
All right.
Later on. And for the rest of you, happy Father's Day. And for the malcontents and the odd ones like Denny and me, happy, what was it? Happy.
Not Parent Day. I don't know.
Happy Not Parent
we
Day.
We need a name.
Okay, we'll come up with it. That's next.
All right.
All right. With me in the studio, who's a little nonplussed by all of this, is no, she's not. You're not at all, Debbie?
No, I love it.
Okay. But you are a parent.
Yes. One child.
So, you know that drill. I'm going in a different direction here with the whole parent thing. And welcome. That's Debbie Hillman, who's in the studio with me today. And you know, we could talk a little bit about drought stuff too. I mean, we're going to talk food as an issue, but you, of course. For a long time, did you call yourself a landscaper or just a gardener?
A gardener.
You weren't actually a landscaper, but you did it for 25 years.
I did everything. I designed, I maintained, I installed, and I worried. That was the main thing. I worried about the rain.
Yes. Yeah. Like today.
Yes. We didn't get that much last night.
No. As Rick DeMaio mentioned, if you were south, then you got slammed. If you were north, not so much.
No, not enough.
But he's saying we might have more later on in the week, except, you know, once we get past 2 days and 90, 90 plus days. So get ready for Monday and Tuesday. And then maybe a little, you know, it's bad when he says, and then it'll cool off to the low 90s.
No.
That's always a bad sign.
That's why I don't listen anymore. I take it as it comes.
Well, yeah, but you got to know if you're a gardener.
Yep, you do.
You have to kind of pay attention. Are you going to augment your water, especially if you're growing food?
Yep. Right.
You get that inch of water a week or whatever, or a couple of inches if you're, you know, in the high, in mid-90s, and you want to water deeply and you want to try to set it up so that you're doing it at the right time.
Right. You do want to pay attention.
And one, you know, like with our community garden on my block, we have a watering schedule, and it gets tricky because everybody's got different jobs and different times they can do it. And so sometimes somebody comes in the evening to water, and my feeling is, as long as it gets watered, you know, I'd rather have them do it in the morning, but I'd rather have them water than not water.
Right. Yep.
But sometimes somebody will come in the evening and one day, and then the person the next day comes in the morning, and you got to go, okay, wait a second, folks, we need to kind of coordinate this.
It's a process. That's a great pilot project, actually. You should be sharing that model with other communities, other blocks. If you're kind of helping each other out, that's the first I've heard of people helping each other water other than going on vacations. But I mean,
it's all for the community garden, people have signed up.
Right.
So, and the other thing we've got is we've got the kids working on it who will do spot watering for us. They get the jugs filled with water from our rain barrel and they just water at the base of a plant. And so actually through all of this drought and heat, we've done pretty well. The crops are doing very, very well.
It's not even middle of June. It's barely middle of June.
Well, I know. And that's the other thing that we haven't. Oh, boy. You know, and I'm knocking on Formica here haven't even really dealt with insects and diseases yet.
Nope, not yet.
Not yet.
But I did eat my first raspberries from my own garden yesterday.
Did you?
Yep. Right on the south wall, obviously. Uh-huh. Yep. They were smacking good.
See, we don't have raspberries there or that. Although I got a company sent me these plants, you know, and I get sent stuff sometimes to try them out. And they're actually pretty cool. And I don't have the information with me but it's, and I should, give him credit for this because I'm growing these miniature blueberries and miniature raspberry plants.
How miniature are they?
They get to be like a foot tall.
Wow.
Foot and a half. Yeah. And they claim that they will bear fruit. And I've got them in containers. And they sent me these wonderful little plants, you know, in a box. And I opened it and I said, well, what's this? And I'm looking. These are shrubs. I'm pulling shrubs out here. And, you know, I'll tell you what, Kathleen, if you can find that information at home, I forget the name of the company, but I'll bring it in and talk about it. And they're these miniature blueberries and raspberries, and I'm going to see if they bear fruit. I've got them out there planted, and we'll see what happens. Yeah, I've never heard of this before either, so it's kind of neat. So you can use them as ornamentals, and you can use them as for bearing fruit as well. I don't know how much they'll bear or whether they will this year. Maybe right. Maybe it's next year. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm just growing them.
you know the rule, sleep, creep, leap, right?
Right, exactly.
So.
Right. Well, why don't you explain that for folks who don't really understand what
okay.
that is?
Well, in the gardening world, when you put in a brand new perennial bed for a homeowner, and you know you stand back and it's all in and it looks beautiful, and you know what it's going to look like in 3 years because you're the professional gardener. But the homeowner says, "Wait a minute, it's not what I had in mind." And then you have to pull out the sleep, creep, leap rule, which is the first year when you plant a garden, everything seems to sort of just not do anything except survive, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
In the second year, things creep along. And the third year, perennials and shrubs and trees, the growth is exponential. It's leap year mm-hmm. in the third year, right?
There you go. And that's the way it's supposed to work.
Yeah.
It doesn't always work that way either.
If you can get them to survive those 3 years.
Yes. Yeah. There you go. That is Debbie Hillman, and she co-founded the Evanston Food Council. She was on the Illinois local food farms and well, it had so many different names,
yeah.
You know, that it was a task force at one point, which is now the council. It was called, what was it when it was?
Well, the legislation was the Illinois Food Farms and Jobs Act.
Right.
And that's really the best term I use.
Yeah. So Debbie was part of that. I first met you just several years ago. I think it was Rooted in Austin.
Yep.
Was the first time.
Your live show. We had such a great time.
Yeah. Debbie is it just started a new concern, why don't you tell us about it?
Well, after working for food policy for 6 years and not making too much money, I decided like the
there is no money in it. I don't want to break the news to you.
There is no money in food systems right now, but
no.
We're changing that. So the time-honored, you know, human history says after you do something for 6 days or 6 weeks or 6 years, you take a day off or a year off.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm taking a year off. This is a sabbatical for me to do some more learning about what is needed to for all of us in the United States to think more about food. About our food system, what are the problems that exist in our food system, which are many, and what do we do about it? And so this is an election year, 2012, and I just decided to see, to do a survey. Are there any congressional candidates running on food as an issue? You look at the long list of issues on election websites, and it's about jobs and health care and war and Afghanistan and monetary reform. And they might have agriculture. They might have hunger. They might have poverty. There is almost no list mentions food that I have found. I mean, I haven't done exhaustive research, but I already know the answer. We have 18 congressional districts in Illinois, and I don't think there's any candidate. There are 35 candidates running for those 18 seats, and I don't think any of them is running on a food platform. They're running on health care. They're running mm-hmm. on jobs. They're running on economic development. I want to see food as a basic, common sense, universal need that is really the largest arena. When if you step back for 5 minutes and think about how much time and materials and resource and land we put into our food system. It is the biggest, it's the system that has the biggest impact on the world and on ourselves. So why not put a little thought into...
Because that would be too easy. I mean, to actually think about this ahead of time. You know, we're much more comfortable as a society with made-up controversies. And that's and you're rolling your eyes,
yes.
But it's absolutely true. We have all these, in the political realm, issues that are really non-issues. That nobody can, like the deficit issue. It's just the complete... nonsense. It's utter foolishness to, you know, let's just get the economy rolling and this idea that we can cut our way to prosperity, you know, cut programs and that will be how we get prosperous is insane. And any right thinking person would actually understand that, you would think. But no. And then something that you're talking about, which is food policy, farm bill, which is making its way through Congress right now.
Right.
Very important.
Yep.
And yet there's going to be a lot of the same old, same old, same old propping up, same old insurance, probably cutting the programs that would help people who could use the food. You would think that the farm bill alone would get some of these politicians talking about food as something they want to run on, but I think you're fighting a hard battle here but I admire it because you're trying to get it on the radar. Let's be smart about this.
I'm just trying to clear my own thought process, my own brain. We are, as you sort of have been describing, we're most of the conversation that happens in, you know, among pundits and government and just on the street, they're made up conversations. They're abstractions. They're big words that really have no connection to something very real.
Yep.
And so the food system for me at the age of when we founded the Evanston Food Council in 2005, I was 54. And it was a way for me as a sort of a person going into the last third of their lives to streamline my own thinking. I want to do something here. But all this, there's too many dots on the map. It's like, how can we streamline focus? Where's the core? What's the leverage point? And food to me is a leverage point like no other.
Well, in Illinois, and this is this statistic has now become almost a cliche. But we talk about it all the time, and you talk about it on your website. I've talked about it on the show that in Illinois, we import 95% of our food.
Yep.
Okay. We have some of the greatest soil on the planet here, some of the greatest growing conditions in the world, and we import 95% of our food. That is the food we eat. Why? Because we use the land basically for commodities.
Because of policy.
Yeah.
It's not one individual making a decision over and over and over again that's added up. It's because of federal policies that have encouraged monocropping or it is a system, and I don't want to get caught into identifying one issue as one. The farm bill is not the cause of our problem.
It's part of that machinery.
Right, right. So I just, yeah, absolutely. It's a joke. Illinois is a farm state, and we import 95% of our food. It's how how did that happen?
I think we all want to know that. 773-763-9278. If you want to talk food policy and what I'm going to get to in a sec here with Debbie Hillman is the Illinois Food Survey, which she's starting, which is going to lead to a larger survey across the country. I'm interested in your points of view, and so is Deb. Because this is what she's trying to figure out in her, you know, you say you're on sabbatical, but you seem to be working awfully hard for being on sabbatical.
Sabbatical means I get to do what I want to do.
There we go.
When I want to do it.
773-763-9278 if you want to join the conversation, and we would appreciate hearing from you. You've heard a lot about Pesci's Garden Center, but have you heard of Fred Pesci? Fred started Pesci's in 1923 when he moved to Des Plaines with his wife and 11 children. Yikes. There's a dad, Denny. The guy had 11 kids. And the business, what was that?
And a mom.
Oh, and a mom. Yes, true. And the business is still there today. Now, originally, Fred specialized in carnations, growing cut flowers for florists and wholesale markets in downtown Chicago. And during World War II, Pesci's Flowers became an employer for prisoners held at Camp Pine, a German POW camp just outside of Des Plaines. German prisoners have even returned to Pesci since the war, recalling their employment, picking and delivering carnations. See? Bet you didn't know that. Today, Pesci's is a full-scale garden center where you can pick up anything from fruit trees and vegetables to fertilizers, pots, and garden tools and ornaments, but it's still run by the Pesci family. And in fact, you'll most likely run into Fred's son Frank and Fred's grandson Chris on any given day there. Their knowledgeable staff about any questions you may have regarding your garden's progress. And Pesci's is the Midwest's largest dealer of people, pet, and planet-friendly fertilizers. And that's Dr. Earth, of course. They are the biggest in terms of carrying Dr. Earth products. Pesci's Garden Center is just minutes off of I-294 at 170 South River Road in Des Plaines. For more information, visit them online at Pesci's.com. Pesci's, three generations of attentive service, expert advice, and uncompromising quality.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? PlantSkid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, PlantSkid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, PlantSkid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. PlantSkid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why PlantSkid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at PlantSkid.com. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed or your money back.
PlantSkid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. PlantSkid.
Get at the helm and start steering your plants toward better health with Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew from Bonide, an organic way to protect plants from critters like beetles, gypsy moths, leaf miners, spider mites. Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew, which contains a naturally occurring soil bacterium used worldwide by organic farmers, is safe to use on vegetable gardens, annuals, perennials, trees, shrubs, and berries. Use that fruit to make some delectable pirate glog. Arr. Just apply Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew directly on the insect or your affected plant. You can use a trigger spray, handheld, backpack, or hose end sprayer. But always, always, please, folks, read and follow label directions. And it'd be good for, if you knew why you were using it. Look closely, you know, get curious and identify the problems on your plants. Or take it to your favorite garden center and have them identify it for you. You can get Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew at Allsip Home and Garden in St. John's, Indiana, Hawthorne Gardens in Hawthorne Woods, Illinois, downtown Hawthorne Woods, Illinois, and Busy Bee in Glenwood, Illinois, or visit Bonide.com to locate a retailer near you. While you're there, download the free Bonide Problem Solver app for your iPhone or Droid.
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. There's no getting around it right now. We're kind of in a drought. We might be coming out of it a little bit. Certain areas certainly need a lot more water. But you can be good to your trees by mulching them. That helps you get through droughts like this. It's easy and expensive and doesn't require special tools. Mulch suppresses weeds and keeps equipment like lawnmowers and string trimmers away from the tree and thus reduces trunk injuries that can be an opening for disease and insect damage. Mulching also moderates soil temperature, but most of all, in a dry spell, it conserves moisture in the soil. The most commonly used mulching material is wood chips. Spread them around the base of the tree to at least 3 feet from the trunk or all the way out to the width of the widest branches if you can. Don't make mulch any thicker than 3 inches and do not allow it to touch the tree trunk. Don't do volcano mulch. I got to get one of those. I should have a graphic with a mulch in a volcano and then put the universal symbol, anti-symbol there.
Yep.
So invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look at your trees. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Debbie Hillman is in the studio with me, and she's with D. Hillman Strategies, Food Policy for Voters, which she has just launched.
Kind of a mouthful, I know.
No, it's okay, you know. But you got your website, new website, is going to be a little simpler than that. What's that going to be?
The Food Vote 2012.com takes you directly to my website where you can learn about this food vote survey, and the Illinois survey is a pilot project. One thing I did not know when I started investigating doing an election survey was that a lot of the states haven't even had their primaries yet. Primaries go through September, believe it or not. Some of the New England
states. Isn't that amazing?
So, you know, Illinois is one of the earliest, but there's primaries going on this month and through the summer. So the election is still a total crapshoot. I mean, that's why we have the vote in November, because this is not a done deal here. So my hope is to make food an election issue somewhere. And I'm starting with Illinois just to sort of figure out, get my survey down, and then in July I hope to go national and see how many of the 435 seats in Congress, how many candidates running for those seats are running on a food platform.
And it'll be interesting if anybody is.
Exactly. My Illinois survey has been up for a week, and I don't have a ton of responses, but I do have responses from all over the state. And no, according to the responses I've gotten so far, nobody in Illinois is running on a food platform. But not all districts are in yet. So,
and that's foodvote2012.com.
Right.
So if you go there, you can get the survey, and I'm linking to it right now. It's also at my website, MikeNovak.net. Go to this week's show, and you'll find a link to the survey. So you're starting with Illinois here,
yep.
And I'm looking. Where's the Oh, here's the survey.
Yeah, if you go under survey,
yeah,
and then there's a link to the survey itself. Yeah, on the survey page.
Okay, I'm looking at the survey link here. Where's the exit this survey? I'm looking for where the... Oh, there we go. Boom. Here we go. So you ask questions like, where do you reside? Obviously, which congressional district are you?
Right. That's essential.
And then you just start how you learn about this. And
the central question is, are any candidates in your district running on food?
Mm-hmm.
And there are two or three districts where people are running unopposed, so it's only one candidate that you have to look at. There's a couple of districts in Illinois that have three candidates. But so there's no more than three candidates that you would have to look at, find out if somebody in your district is running on food.
And then what do you plan to do with this information?
I'm going to be blogging weekly. So probably this week, Tuesday, I'll put up my first blog and sort of summarize the information that I've gotten so far.
Mm-hmm.
The geographical range, I got a lot of great comments from people.
What are you hearing?
Well, the one that came in last night or yesterday from Springfield, and I don't – these are all anonymous, so I have no clue who they are. This person says, most foodies believe they can vote with their fork and don't understand the need for political engagement. Well, I know that, but it helps when you have somebody else say the same thing or maybe say it in a different way. One of my questions is I'm asking people to suggest ways in which we as grassroots people can be more effective in talking to our candidates and getting them to commit. One person said, the most effective thing I believe is to bring it up in a public meeting to get candidates to commit publicly. And I agree with that. The more you do in public or in a larger group, the more your efforts will not go wasted.
Mm-hmm. Well, get them on the record.
Right.
Because it's easy to and you want other people to hear them talking about food. You want other people to hear you the question about food and whatever that might be, and then the candidate's response to that.
Right. A lot of people, I call that, and I call that kind of opportunity soft messaging and soft policy making. A lot of people think they need to write a fancy document and take it into their legislator and have a private one-on-one, deep, serious conversation. And if they just convince them how well thought out your whole plan is, well, then of course the legislator or the candidate is going to adopt it immediately. Well, that doesn't work. The legislator needs to know that there's other people that agree with you. And sometimes it's just getting it out in the air. Like you say, just getting it out in public. That starts building critical mass. The more you talk about food as a policy issue in any context, the more other people are going to hear and their ears are going to perk up, because the word food is a positive word. Everybody likes to talk about food. We all like to eat it. There's so many ways you can talk about food. It's a positive issue. So,
well, in terms of Illinois, all right, you intend to have this go national, but, you know, we know Illinois. We mentioned earlier that 95% of the food here is imported into the state. Would the goal with Illinois legislators be to get them to understand that local food is healthy food, that local food, that the thinking needs to be going? I mean, you talk about it on your site. Let me read something. You write there, for 60-plus years, American voters' food attention and resources have been over-focused on creating a global food system to the detriment of every local farm and food economy in the world, including local food economies in the United States. Symptoms of local food system dysfunction are manifest in every American community and every sector of community life. And you list some of them, including public health, which in reduced lifespan, skyrocketing health care costs, infant mortality, hunger, malnutrition, overnutrition, mononutrition.
I made that up.
I like it. You eat the same thing over and over again. It's a mononutrition. Obesity, diabetes 2, cardiovascular disease. In terms of education, loss of basic life skills and cultural heritage, loss of food literacy. Where does your food come from?
Nobody knows, including rural kids. Farm kids don't know where food comes from.
And even if they do know where food comes from, and it's part of the mission of this show, is to teach people what's going on in the soil. How is it you grow stuff? Now, that's part of it, too. Now, to some people, that's just being geeky, nerdy, but if you can teach people about the life of the soil, you can teach them how to grow anything.
And that's where you get into food systems, because the opposite end of the food system from production, as you know, is what do you do with the food waste, the food scraps? It's composting. And right now in urban areas, especially, I mean, I live in Evanston, and for 30, 40 years, our food scraps are going in the landfill. Our leaves are going to the landfill. Mm-hmm. Nothing is returned to Evanston soil. I mean, I'm just using Evanston as a microcosm. Nothing.
I can say the same thing about Chicago.
Exactly. Right.
And there's a lot more people.
Yeah. And it's not being returned to the farms either. I mean, the food that we get imported from California, yeah. Are we shipping it back to California? I'm not suggesting we should, but are we? I mean, how are they replenishing their soil? Mm-hmm. So this is why it's a food system.
I'll bet that in California, yeah. though, they compost more than we do in Illinois. Mm-hmm. And you just touched on a really important issue. If you and for the folks saying, well, how do you make food an issue? This is one. It's like, what are we doing with our waste, our organic waste, which we are in Illinois are not particularly good at dealing with?
In our garbage hauling dollars, the city of Evanston alone, we haul away our food scraps and our yard waste. Our yard waste bill is $750,000 a year. And I personally think we can eliminate that entirely. I can save the city of Evanston $750,000 a year by teaching people how to compost. And then the food scraps. The individual restaurants pay thousands of dollars a year on hauling away food scraps. And we need to figure out how to keep that more local. So it's growing local. It's keeping our food scraps local. It's understanding where our food dollars go. Where do our food dollars go? Do they go to our farmers in Illinois? Do they go to the community gardeners, you know, down the street?
Mm-hmm.
Most of our food dollars are in all sorts of taxpayer subsidies. And I'm not talking farm subsidies. I'm talking about big subsidies like transportation subsidies, export-import subsidies, water. The farmers in California, the way they can do it is with water subsidies. And we're all paying for that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a system. That's really what I would really want candidates to understand is that we're talking about a food system. I'm not personally advocating any particular agenda except knowledge and knowledge about the system, mm-hmm. which and every American citizen is ignorant about the food system.
You know, I'm wondering if you went into a candidate forum and asked the question, where do you stand on how to deal with organic waste, you just watch their heads explode because this is something that these people have never considered at all, I'm sure.
Right.
I mean, the average person doesn't, and the average politician doesn't think about this at all.
Yeah, it could get very embarrassing, actually. It really could. I have approached a couple of candidates in Illinois over the last 6 months, and I want to be gentle. I'm not advocating for them to immediately craft a very sophisticated platform on food systems, but I would like them to hold a listening session on food, mm-hmm. where they learn and they give the opportunity for their constituents to learn.
Let's take a phone call here, 773-763-9278, and we're going out to JR in Plainfield. JR, how are you?
Hello, Michael. I guess my question is, or I should say, my comment would be, is that I've been listening and all these different things, and it's not only it's the word waste, and we talk about all this, these people. Why aren't we using yard waste? Why aren't we using food waste? Why aren't we using I've talked to you in the past about biosolids, you know, human waste. I think that's the big thing, is nobody's waste.
Yeah, you're saying we're using the wrong word here, and you have a really good point that if it's used properly, it is not waste, and words have meanings, and your point is well taken that the discussion needs to incorporate different words about what we're doing here, because if they're used properly, what we call waste now feeds our soil and it feeds our plants and it feeds us.
Well, in 30 years in the soil business and soil mixes and all the rest of it, and then we came on with the whole yard waste issue of keeping it out of the landfills and this and that, but yet I can go try to sell somebody, you know, some compost, you know, compost. But we, you know, on full disclosure, we say, oh, it's yard waste compost. Oh no, I don't want any of that waste. I don't want any yard.
Yeah,
waste.
And that's what, and I see your point, and that's why I think it's valuable that, you know, what word do you use, JR?
Oh, I guess I don't know. I try to stick to alternative organics. You know, something, and I don't have the exact answer. I've talked to so many different people, and it goes, and then the whole thing is that it goes back to being able to do a lot of this because it has that name on it. We have our illustrious IEPA who wants to get involved in it because it's been deemed a waste, where it's not. It's not a waste. It's a feedstock, and you know we've been in heated arguments and heated discussions and everything, and it's no, not unless somebody wants to change it. And I can't do it alone, and there's a lot of people that can't do it alone. And the legislative, you know, people, they almost get afraid of, you know, the EPA. Oh, but they say it's a waste. Wait a minute.
Well, you know, part of the problem we had in Illinois was that we took the word waste way too seriously up until a couple of years ago when HB 99 got passed. Was it SB 99 got passed. It made it a little easier for companies to start up composting businesses. It's still not as easy as it should be. And before then, though, food waste was considered basically in the same category with toxic materials. Because, you know, and it becomes this health issue, and then people, not so much sometimes the IEPA, but the health departments that we're afraid of. We say, oh, my goodness, you know, we could be spreading diseases. And yeah, we need to be careful. But the other thing is we also need to be smart, and we do need to use those resources that we're not using. And we're slowly turning that Titanic around in Illinois. So that we can actually create compost materials that can be done. This could be done in states next to us, but not here, to some degree.
Well, definitely. And the other one is that the I don't know, good, sad one, or whatever, is every person that I talk to, you know, I should say, a majority of the people that I talk to in the industry and this and that, you know, says that one big problem is Illinois. You know, we live in the wrong state. And
because what do you mean we live in the wrong state?
Well, there are so many other states that are embracing the idea of composting, of reusing, of, you know, reducing and using the organics that, you know, states, different countries, you know, just embracing the organic end of it, of that we have a wonderful thing. I mean, the you know, wonderful resources. You know, your guest talked about leaves and all that kind of stuff. I mean, for 30 years I've been doing soil and everything, and I go and I take soil from the western suburbs of Aurora, Naperville, Oswego, Joliet, and we put it in a truck that's burning diesel fuel, and we truck it 50 miles into the city to see a truck of organic material passing me on I-55 going the other way, 50 miles the other way.
Yeah.
I mean, use it where you lose it.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Listen, that's an excellent phone call, and I appreciate.
Well, the only other one would be is that I'd like you to put a jar together, Mike, and every time you use waste, throw a quarter in it, all right, for me. So,
all right.
You'll
be rich. All right, JR, thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. 773-763-9278 if you want to get involved in the conversation. And JR's just got a really good point. You know, and that's just part of the issues that we're talking about. Food scraps or the end product. If you don't want to call it waste, what do you call it? But educating our elected officials to the idea that 30% of what goes into landfills is organic matter, and we have to stop that.
Right.
We had the landfill ban that just passed and is sitting on the governor's desk, and I want to talk about that in just a second as well. And that the idea that we don't want put it in Cook County, and I had somebody write me and say, well, you people in Chicago and Cook County, you can't just send it away. Well, and he's right. We have to figure out how not to do that. I don't want it in Cook County, though. You know, I think Cook County's been abused enough as it is.
Well, I mean, I've been trying to figure out what the history behind that bill and what are the real issues, because in my point of view, Cook County as a county has about 75 garbage transfer stations all over the county. That tells me that Cook County needs 75 composting operations.
Yep.
And so some people might call them landfills. Now, there's different kind of composting. There's the open landfill that people are probably imagining, and that's probably not very doable for 75.
Well, and it's not efficient in terms of composting.
Right. So how about biodigesting, or there's a middle ground, there's inside composting. And people have already figured out there's a guy in Virginia that does this. I've been working with a woman here in Illinois who's been trying to open her own indoor composting facility. So it's a big warehouse, and it probably looks like a landfill, but it's inside, and you take all sorts of precautions to eliminate the vermin and the odor and whatever. So I think, you know, this is where technology might be helpful to us.
We need to investigate this. That's Debbie Hillman, D. Hillman Strategies, Food Policy for Voters. Go to foodvote2012.com. Take the survey. Help Debbie out. Help Debbie figure out how to approach our politicians, our legislators, about and teach them about food issues. The Growing Place in Naperville and Aurora wants you to think about watering properly. A sprinkler run for an hour and a half. An hour to an hour and a half can do an excellent job of delivering about an inch of water. Try a drip hose as well. Be sure to water plants thoroughly on the day you plant them. Newly planted annuals, perennials, trees, and shrubs will need extra hand watering. Perennials, trees, and shrubs planted the prior year or two may also need extra watering. The Growing Place wants you to think about that, too. Sometimes the stress on a plant is related to something that happened last year or the year before. Try to water in the morning as it allows foliage to dry, preventing fungal diseases. Soaker hoses are a great option, as I said, because they deliver water slowly where it is needed without losing it to evaporation or watering the leaves. They will need to be left to run for more than an hour to get enough water to the area. You can do it in quadrants around a tree. Check the soil 1 or 2 inches down. Be sure to check below the mulch and do not water again until the soil is dry 1 to 2 inches below the surface. When you water slowly and deeply, roots will grow deeper and you will need to water less often. For more information, go to thegrowingplace.com or visit them in person at 25 West 471 Plank Road in Naperville. Also at 2000 Montgomery Road in Aurora. The Growing Place is a proud sponsor of Dig In Chicago.
Are you passionate about fitness, nutrition, personal growth, or living a sustainable lifestyle? Natural Awakenings magazine is your local guide to a healthier, greener, and more balanced life. Each monthly issue includes timely articles about nutrition, alternative and holistic medicine, fitness for your body and mind, healthy pets, recipes, an extensive events calendar, and more. Natural Awakenings is available across Chicago and in the north and northwest suburbs. Get your free copy at wellness and fitness centers, health food and grocery stores, coffee shops, libraries, and wherever free publications are found. Or visit us online at www.nachicagonorth.com. Advertisers, Natural Awakenings magazine is the perfect way to reach health-conscious and green readers looking for businesses just like yours. Call 847-858-3697 today to learn more about advertising opportunities. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings magazine. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Got a couple of tweets here. We got a couple of phone calls we're going to get to in a second from the Seed Keeper Company gals. JR is so right. We should call it food energy. Just because it isn't eaten doesn't mean it won't supply energy to our soil. And then Carl Zimring tweets, this is a great example of waste as inefficiency rather than waste as filth. He calls it squandered value. So it's all very interesting. We'll get to their calls in just a sec. So you probably know that earwigs don't crawl into your ear while you're sleeping and eat your brain. Whew. But do you know... You did know that, didn't you, Debbie?
Yes.
Okay, just wanted to make sure. But do you know how to stop them from eating your veggies? Well, here's an answer for you.
No.
Try Dr. Earth's Final Stop Pest Control Killer Spray. Use this organic spray around your plants or in the home to control many household and garden insects safely. Its effective blend of essential oils and food-grade ingredients is safe for people, pets, and planet. Of course, as I said earlier in the show, pay attention to the heat and then make sure that you're not doing this when the weather's too hot. Find out for yourself. Dr. Earth is sold only at local independent garden centers, so go to drearth.com to find a dealer near you. Dr. Your Earth with Dr. Earth.
Hot, dry summers are hard on our lawns and landscapes. Use Milorganite fertilizer to help your lawn and landscape survive the stressful summer season. Hi, I'm gardening expert Melinda Myers. The organic nitrogen in Milorganite is slow release and non-burning, even during drought. The fertilizer will be in place and ready to work when better growing conditions and moisture return, so there's no need to water it in. Plus, the 4% iron promotes deep green growth. Milorganite, for better results naturally. Visit Milorganite.com for a garden center near you.
And there's a perfect example right there. Milorganite is, you know, it is taking the, and I'm using air quotes here, the waste product, creating fertilizer out of it. And I think this is one of the ways that one of the things we have to look at, because we create so much waste. We can't just keep piling it. We used to take biosolids and dump them in the ocean. Well, we can't do that anymore. And Milorganite is treating them with bacteria and then fire them up. They heat them and destroy pathogens. They found out how to eliminate heavy metals, and they keep working and developing that. These are solutions that we have to find. This is why I like so much what they do, because it's taking something that otherwise somebody wants to throw away and creating something useful out of it. It's Father's Day weekend. If you think Dad wouldn't like something for the garden, you don't know your dad very well. I want you to stop by Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center, where they're celebrating the holiday with loads of bright new plant material and some amazing deals. Now, I mentioned last hour that my buddies Jeannie and Keith took a field trip this week to their favorite perennial nursery. They got some great perennials. They're absolutely beautiful. But you know what? They've also got annuals and tropicals that look great, including zinnias, pentas, petunias, lantana, gora, plumbago, and other tropicals, verbena, shrimp plant, more. Just show up at Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center. And by the way, Christy Weber is going to be in the booth with me and Marshall next Sunday for the Pride Parade for the 3 hours between noon and three. So she's a hoot, and it will be a lot of fun having her in the booth with us. And by the way, back to the Farm and Garden Center, buy two shrubs, get one free. They also have a huge selection of quart and gallon perennials marked half off. Visit Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center on Facebook. That's one place you can check them out. Or stop by 2200 West Grand Avenue in the Ukrainian Village. Look for the explosion of color.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why Plant Skid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at PlantSkid.com. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed, or your money back.
Plant Skid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. Plant Skid.
It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Debbie Hillman is in studio with me. We got a couple more calls. Let's go to John in Schaumburg. John, you're on the Mike Novak Show. Good morning.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Debbie, I have a question for you. Reference food stamp program. 1 out of 7 people in the United States are on food stamps. $72 billion a year are being spent on food stamps. But the money being, the people are using that the money to buy items from Cargill, PepsiCo, Frito-Lay, Coca-Cola, Kraft, like the Cheese Mac, which has no nutritional value, Walmart. What it is, our politicians are afraid to change that program because they are getting donations from the these large companies. Why do, and these, the foods that are being presently purchased through the program are causing obesity in the United States, which is also adding to Medicare. Why don't you go after these politicians and tell them they need to change the food program where people can only buy nutritional foods that will be beneficial to them?
Well, number one, I don't want to tell anybody how to spend their daily food dollars. Food is a survival thing on a day-to-day level. If you say tomorrow that those people who only are surviving on food stamps, that they can't buy the things that are available in their neighborhood, you're basically putting a muzzle on their mouth and tying their hands. And I don't think that's what this country is all about. But you are right. There's a huge disconnect here. This is all about the left hand and the right hand not talking to each other. So I just want to say that the public health community is strongly rooted in food system work right now. The Centers for Disease Control is leading the way. They are funding lots of great organizations and initiatives to change that, basically, and to help get fresh, healthy food in neighborhoods where there's a high percentage of people on food stamps. So that means creating gardens or farmers markets or double couponing for farmers market produce. So, you know, at the same time that you say no to something, you have to provide the alternative, especially in food. It's you can't tell people not to stop eating tomorrow.
And I think that's part of what you're doing. Thanks for the phone call, John. I appreciate it. You're trying to teach these things to politicians as well, and that's kind of your whole thing. It's like help educate our legislators so we can educate our citizens as well. All right, let me take care of one thing, and then we're going to wrap up here. You can depend on Lurvy Landscape Supply and Garden Center on Dempster Street in Des Plaines for everything that grows and everything that goes in the landscape. And to celebrate the arrival of summer, that's this week, they're announcing the Lurvy Garden Club, which starts this Thursday, June 21st. When you sign up for the Lurvy Garden Club, you'll benefit from exclusive sales and promotions, members-only e-news, the Seasonal Solutions newsletter, and even birthday gifts. No, I'm not making this up. Go to lurvys.com and sign up today. And while you're online, get a Lurvy gift card for friends, family, business associates, or yourself. Better yet, just drop by at 2550 East Dempster in Des Plaines. Fresh annuals and perennials are arriving daily. And don't forget that Lurvy has one of the most complete lines of natural stone and pavers in the Chicago area. They're located just 1/4 mile east of the Tri-State Tollway, I-294. Go to lurvys.com and don't forget to like them on Facebook. Lurvy Landscape Supply and Garden Center is a proud sponsor of Dig In Chicago. We got just a couple of minutes left, Deb. I'm sorry I can't get to George. I appreciate you calling. But I did want to go. I mentioned a couple of things. Whoa, watch the headsets there. Those two bills, the one, they're both sitting on Governor Pat Quinn's desk. One is House Bill 3881, which would effectively ban landfills in Cook County, assuming that the governor signs it. And I'm encouraging people, the Southeast Environmental Task Force is also encouraging people to call the governor and tell him to put his John Hancock on there. 312-814-2121 is the governor's number. Tell him that he needs to do this, or you can go to the No Chicago Landfills Facebook page. And then the other one, though, is SB 3766, which is the Leucadia coal gasification bill, which was also passed. We want him to veto that because that would put that coal gasification plant in the southeast part of the city, and it would raise our rates. It's a bad deal. It would force Nicor and Ameren ratepayers to buy the synthetic gas, and it's going to raise your rates. So don't do, you know, tell the governor when you call and veto that bill. Deb, thank you so much for coming in. We've had a lot of response here to this, and good luck with the survey. Again, I want people to go to foodvote2012.com.
Thanks, Mike. And I'll be blogging weekly so people can get up to date on what I'm learning on the survey.
You know, and maybe we'll actually get our electorate educated, maybe even our legislators.
Well, I would just say, you know, tell people to, I mean, I'm telling whoever's listening now, talk to your candidates.
All right. And go green or go home.